This is an
Get In
special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Oh, well, that drop hits close to home right now because Bear will not stop barking. It's hard to even concentrate. I'd like to start off, though, ENN, by saying good evening to Michael.
Duped.
I'd also like to say, if I can, I'm going to, good evening to Don.
Have you ever had a conversation with bacteria?
Out of context, that sounds weird. But
people
if you
suck.
Here, yeah.
I got to find it, but somebody did rip me on my bacteria take.
Really?
On how certain take. Bacteria we need to survive, so how dare I?
Right, you can't come after all bacteria.
Yeah, that blanket bacteria rip is not really responsible.
Yeah, no, you got to do better than that, Don. You just have to. Well, guys, there was a lot of sports over the weekend. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Maybe one of the biggest weekends in sports pandemic history.
So let's start with our NBA playoff report brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. Shall we?
Please.
Yep.
And let's dive right in to some interesting stuff from the Knicks series. Let's hear from Hawks coach Nate McMillan, his thoughts on the crowd at MSG.
The noise is pretty much the same. I mean, the arenas when I played, they were loud and it was hot. And, you know, this time of the season, a lot of energy in there. And, you know, there'll be, you know, certain people saying some things, mainly courtside. But, you know, last night's chant was coming from the, you know, the building. And I've never heard that being chanted in a building about a player. I had to, you know, really listen to see, you know, to think about what they were saying. But again, I thought our guys did a good job of blocking that out and, you know, focusing on the game.
Can I say something that is really going to make me seem old?
Go ahead.
When did it become okay to just drop the F word as a chant? I don't get it. I mean, there are kids in the stands too. What did you? I mean, if I took Charlie to the game, and now it's okay socially to just say that?
It's funny. I wasn't going to go that direction.
Which direction were you going to go?
I was going to go. Come back to me, Nate.
Yeah,
he's right, though.
But these have been chanted in arenas before. You're almost
But now they're doing this. Before the game, they were saying blank Altuve. I mean, that's become like a thing now. So now an acceptable word in society.
I have heard nasty things chanted at Yankee games many times. I mean, you don't like it. It's you have to, like, you know, either say something to your kids about it not being inappropriate, or if they're young, hope they don't notice it. But that is a thing that exists. I'm not saying it's right, but Nate McMillan played basketball in the 90s.
Right.
People said crazy things at games. Come back to me, Nate.
That's the only time he's heard something like that before.
I think this is kind of new to chant. It's not like F Trae Young. They're saying the word. I've never heard that at Yankee Stadium ever.
Oh, well, you're far away from the bleacher creatures then.
Believe me, I used to sit in the bleachers. I've never heard that be like an acceptable chant.
I'm not talking about when Mickey Mantle was playing.
I didn't go when Mickey Mantle was playing.
No, but
anyone who sat in the bleachers in the Bronx – 90s and beyond has heard horrifying things.
All right, so if the bleacher creatures are saying that, and I'm not saying that they do, now it's okay for an entire arena to chant that word. Again, I know it's going to make me sound old. It's just weird.
No, I'm not. I don't think it'd be sound old. I mean, you're a dad, and it's not appropriate if you're with kids.
It's not appropriate, but I don't know if you want to die on that hill. I mean, listen, they used to chant "Beat Your Wife, Pop" then at Madison Square Garden. I mean, is that appropriate? You know, I think that fans do that. Actually, it's lazy. Be a little bit more creative. But I don't know, David Ortiz during a speech after the bombing of the Boston Marathon was dropping F-bombs.
Right.
I thought it was great.
But I didn't think it was great. I thought there was a better way to do it. But I think that was the beginning, that now it's an acceptable word to be chanting in public.
Because I think it's never going to be acceptable publicly, Michael, that word. But I think it gets thrown around a lot more than when we were kids. I think it's a lot more acceptable, closer to acceptable now than it was before. I don't think that was something that you would see 30 years ago, but now it's happening because I just think we hear it in our music, we hear it in movies constantly, and I think a younger generation was exposed to it way more than we were. Now, whether that's a good thing, a bad thing, I don't know. Peter may be able to speak to it because he's younger than we are.
I think it's great.
But
no, it's not good. Oh,
it's not good, but I don't know how bad it is. I mean, I'm not offended when I hear somebody use that. I kind of think they're ignorant. Like when they use the F-bomb constantly in like words and all that, they don't really seem to have a great vocabulary. They got to rely on that. But in the movie, you know, when you'd hear it in a movie when we were younger, I was like, whoa, now it's kind of commonplace, and it's commonplace in music. So I think it's still unacceptable, but I think there's a generation, Michael, that look at that word and swear words in general much differently than we did.
I'll just say this. Growing up around my niece and nephew, I watched how my brother and sister-in-law handled that stuff with music and film, and you know, they tried for a while and they did a good job protecting it, and then they get to be 11, whatever, and they start hearing it and they know what those words are, and now the kids are 13 and they've heard it all, and they don't walk around being sailors. They know time and place. I mean, come on, do we all learned cursing at some point? Not everyone's Michael Kay who gets one order to not use a word and literally never uses the word again.
But I'm not saying that word, my dad could curse with the best of them. But I mean, I could see its development. Like Cal, you're a product of the people that your children are around. So your child will be raised as those that she hangs out with, their children, those children are raised. So she's hearing words now, and she's taking them into the house, and I'm going, no, that's not the way we talk here.
What kind of stuff are you saying here?
I couldn't say it on the air.
That's unfortunate. Let's hear how it affected Trey Young. What did Trey have to say?
I mean, in a zone, and everybody's chanting F you. I don't know if any of y'all had that, but I've had it a couple of times. I had it in college, and I had it again tonight. So, I mean, it got real quiet at the end, and for me, I wanted to hear those F you chants again.
Go in Fordham University yourself.
Maybe then, because you alluded to it, for those that are new to the show, I have never said that word in my life. And I have a Don and Peter, her, I've got a dirty mouth. But that word I've never said. I think that's like the kingpin of bad words. And now 15,000 people are just casually chanting it?
Because I don't know what would replace it. It probably still is the kingpin of words, but I just don't think that there's a generation of fans that look at it the way you do.
Okay.
That word is as filthy as it gets. Well, there's one other word that's worse. But
have you ever heard me say the other word?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's why it's kind of bogus that this is the one word that you won't do when like every other
word. it's the height of fraudulence.
And it's funny, it's because of you getting in trouble for saying a word that rhymes with that, which I think is fascinating.
Right.
But, again, listen, I remember just being a kid here. You never hear that in a song. Now I think it's in songs.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. As a result of how both Trey Young acted after the game and now Nate McMillan saying what he said, expect it to be much worse on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Now, which game do you think had the better celebs over the weekend, Brooklyn or the Garden?
Well, give us who they had.
Let's see. The Garden had Spike Lee.
That shouldn't count.
It had Tracy Morgan.
Right.
Which should borderline not count, Don. He's there all the time.
Right.
He's Spike Lee adjacent.
Right. I don't think he's there to be seen. Spike certainly isn't there to be seen.
John Stewart. Anna Taylor-Joy, who you may know
Anya.
As
Anya.
What I say? I said Anna. Sorry. Anya Taylor-Joy, whose name I found out 10 seconds ago, who's the star of The Queen's Gambit. Fantastic show.
And was the host of SNL.
Right. So she was at the Garden as well.
Should I know her? I don't know her.
Did you see The Queen's Gambit?
I did not.
That you should know her.
Yeah, she's tremendous in The Queen's Gambit, Don. She's really, really good.
I'm not making any statements.
No,
I was supposed to be familiar with her work.
Don, listen, I loved the show, did not know her name until now 40 seconds ago.
Okay. I feel better.
Victor Cruz and his daughter Kennedy were at the Barclays Center. Apparently it was a Giants affair because Michael Strahan and his lady friend Kayla Quick were there.
Who's Kayla Quick?
It says his partner, Kayla Quick.
Okay.
Now, I never asked Victor this. Maybe you did, Peter. If he, because of growing up in Jersey, did he like the New Jersey Nets?
My assumption is yes. He's a real Jersey guy. So I would think so.
Although,
you know, he goes to the Knicks games a lot, too. So I don't know.
That's to be seen. Anyway, the Nets seem more sports-oriented. The Knicks seem more entertainment-oriented.
Also, Justin Tuck was at, as we talked about, was at the Nets game.
And had a fight Don about it.
This is also responded to me, so I'm nobody to him.
Also, at MSG, Mary-Kate Olsen. Here's the official win for the Garden. Michael J. Fox and his wife were in the house.
There you go. Winner, winner.
As was Ben Stiller.
But Ben's there because he's a Knicks fan.
And then the real finisher for me to just seal the deal for the Garden, Justin Hartley of This Is Us, a.k.a. Kevin from This Is Us. That's
never
just
saw a second of that show.
It's the biggest mistake you've ever made in your
Why?
Life.
Why? Because I need to cry. Like, real life is not bad enough.
It's not about being bad. The show's not bad. No.
I'm saying there's a lot of things in real life to cry about. I don't need to put on Channel 4 to cry some more.
I like that you use the old school Channel 4 reference because we don't often refer to networks anymore as a number.
It's a great point, Peter.
But it's not. That's not what the tears are about. It's about getting in touch with feelings, man.
Yeah, I'm in touch with my feelings. I'm with Michael,
but I loved Parenthood when it was on. That was a Channel 4 vehicle. And
is that what we're doing from now on? It feels like this is permanent
because we're a local show, as Michael
right.
said.
Right,
Channel 2, local is yokel. CBS. Yeah,
I'm a Million Little Things on Channel 7.
You're a big Channel 7 guy, aren't you?
Oh. Now listen, I
watch it. Rebel. You watch that show, Michael? That's good.
No, I don't. I don't. I'm not engaged with any shows right now.
So the only big difference between here and DC when it comes to channel numbers. And it was like this my entire life when I'd come to visit my grandparents in Rockaway and would want to watch football, is that CBS here is 2, and CBS at home, back where I'm from, is, what's the, any guess? And like
13.
This is, no. One guess, Michael.
I can't.
Oh, who guessed that, Anthony? Very good. He said 9, and that is correct. That's been the only adjustment, and now I've adjusted so hard that when I go home, I'm searching for CBS. It's not on 2. By the way, speaking of TV and TV ratings, remember how we said the play-in game was here to stay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it sure is. The Friday play-in game, which...
Wait, if you're going to do something on the play-in, I think you should... There's a sponsor that you have to read for that.
Well, I'm still finishing my playoff update.
Yeah, but this should be your playoff update.
Well, it is, but I have a close at the end of that. I already did the open.
Forget it.
Was there a joke that I missed?
No, it wasn't. It's a business thing.
Well, after this statement, I'll get to what I know about, and if there's something else, you clue me in.
Okay.
The play-in game between the Grizzlies and the Warriors averaged 3.6 million viewers, according to Nielsen. That's the second most watched NBA game of the season. After, of course, the first play-in game. And that's the NBA playoff report brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the Michael Kay Show, and the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. Is that what you meant?
Yeah. Did you also see that they're thinking about a mid-season tournament?
No, really?
Yeah.
Are we about to go full, like, European soccer?
Yes, exactly, Peter. That's exactly what they want to do.
Wow, that is very interesting. Now, the other... event of the weekend when it comes to sports that everyone was talking about was, of course, the PGA Championship, which saw the 50-year-old Phil Mickelson get a huge win. Here's Phil on winning the PGA.
One of the moments I'll cherish my entire life. And I don't know how to describe the feeling of excitement and fulfillment and accomplishment to do something when, you know, at this magnitude, when very few people thought that I could. But, you know, it's very possible that this is the last tournament I ever win. Like, if I'm being realistic. But it's also very possible that I may have had a bit of a breakthrough in some of my focus and maybe I go on a little bit of a run. I don't know. There's no reason why I or anybody else can't do it at a later age. It just takes a little bit more work.
Love
now,
it.
One thing that Phil did a lot, you know, as he's walking from 17 to 18, a lot of the thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. He's a big thumbs up guy.
It's a very uncomfortable look. Now, Peter, have you ever seen Paul McCartney in concert?
I have once at Bonnaroo a few years ago. He did too much wings. I was lost.
He is so uncomfortable on stage. I don't know if he was like that with the Beatles. Their concerts were 30 minutes long.
Well, good thing John Lennon was the lead. Keep going.
He would stand up after each song and just put his thumbs up, both thumbs up. And ever since that time, and I love Paul McCartney, I'm now down on thumbs up.
Well, it worked for Ed Koch.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Phil, big thumbs up.
Just do the wave, you know, the Queen Elizabeth wave.
Yeah, thumbs up is a weird, it's almost like a political move.
It's like Fonzie. That's the last guy who did it that was cool.
It's a great point, Michael, by you. The thumbs up is a weird one.
No, it's just, you can't lift your hand up and do thumbs up. It just looks wrong.
Well, but you see politicians do it all the time. You know what they do? This is big. The thumbs up to the wave. Thumbs up. Hey, glad you're here. Wave.
But, I mean, hey. Most politicians, I hate to say this, I mean, complete nozzles.
It's not a bold statement.
Did you see what Andrew Yang said? I mean, he was talking about how he loves hip-hop, and he was asked to name one Jay-Z song. He couldn't come up with it.
Well, it got worse than that. If you watch the whole clip from Showtime, I wanted to see what his eventual answer was because I knew the Twitter clip cut it short. And his eventual answer was Encore.
Which is something that Jay-Z did with somebody else, right?
Well, it was originally a Jay-Z song solo, but he was referring to the Encore Numb version with Linkin Park,
right?
Which was so uncool to say. But by the way, Andrew Yang didn't know he was getting trolled the entire interview. I mean, it was Borat at Jace. Like
remember when Hillary Clinton was running for senator of New York? She wearing a Yankee hat. Well, why do they even go there where they can be exposed?
Well, the interviewer also asked. I think her name's Niue. I just got familiar with her today. She also asked, "What's your favorite subway station?" He said, "Times Square." Well, what are you doing, man?
Oh, it's a great subway station.
I will tell you though, Times Square does have the record store, which is tremendous.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I want to hear this audio because I haven't heard it yet, and we're down to a minute and change here. I want to hear Mike Malone telling Cassidy Hubbard that he's Michael Malone.
The Nuggets, Mike Malone, and Coach...
Michael Malone.
Michael Malone, my apologies, Coach. I'll get that right here in the playoffs. Coach, where do you want to...
I don't know.
See, that's wrong.
That's wrong. No one has ever called him Michael Malone.
Also, don't do it on an interview. Just do it later. Hey, Cassidy, from now on, could you call me Michael? That's terrible.
Come on, man. That is you.
That's just trying to make somebody uncomfortable for the sake of doing it.
That's a bad joke. She should have said, I'll call you what I want. Okay, let's move on.
Nozzle of the weekend to Mike Michael Malone. That'll do it for ENN on this Monday, May 24th.
Wow. What a great ENN. A lot
Thank
of stuff
you.
In it.
Loved it.
It covered McCartney, Yang. It was Linkin Park was mentioned. I like to get... You know, the mentions in ENN that you never thought you'd get.
We should one day start keeping a list, writing down all the people. One of our regular listeners should write down all the names that were mentioned throughout ENN.
Don, you ready for the Islander pregame show?
Yep, big one.
Is it going to be good?
Two, big game five.
Let's go, Pens.
Wow, good for you. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for a goodbye again. See everybody. Enjoy the Islanders.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.